Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Carolina Conversation. I'm your host, Shimon Williams, and we're doing our Q&A today. And I have my producer with me, none other than JK. And we're here to talk about the Heels. And, you know, in the past two games, they're 2-0. So, JK, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Freaking last night, the first, like, big game in the Dean Dome with fans in a long time. And to be back in the student section and get back in that packed house environment, I'm going to tell you right now, man, like, it felt so good because it's been so long since we've been able to do that, and it was rocking in there.
Well, it was rocking. As we know that the Heels played against the Michigan Wolverines, led by Juwan Howard. It was a really, really good game for the Heels. Guys came out to compete. The Heels took advantage of them on the interior. And then the guards, brought the game on home, let's talk about that for a few minutes. What were your thoughts?
So, I mean, biggest thing for me, coming into this game, Michigan and Carolina, both of them have kind of like turned the ball over a bunch. I mean, UNC was averaging like 13 turnovers a game. Michigan's averaging like 14. And then I look up at the Jumbotron at halftime. Carolina's taking care of the ball. They've already forced like 6-7 Michigan turnovers. And like, you see the difference it made. I mean, we actually took care of the ball last night, finished the game with only 6 turnovers, which was insane to see. And then we forced 13. And it's like you said, the defensive intensity just seemed like it was like on a different level last night. So Michigan's over here. They got Dickinson with the ball. They're doing all these dribble handoffs. You got like Caleb Love and RJ fighting through the dribble handoffs, getting steals and everything. And it's like, that's the defensive intensity like we've been waiting to see all year from these guys. So, right. From your perspective, forcing those turnovers, jumping the dribble handoffs and everything, like as good of a defensive game as they played, how can you see them, even improving and building off of that defensive performance as they go forward?
Well, I think the effort that they showed last night was really, really the difference in the game, or the difference in how they've played against those other elite teams. They were really focused. They stymied Michigan's offense. And they executed the game plan to a T. They made it extremely difficult, knowing that, Michigan's not as perimeter oriented as they have been in the past. Having Hunter Dickinson inside and then having those guys on the outside that could hurt you with their jump shot and shooting ability. I think Coach Davis and staff put a great game plan together to make it difficult on Dickinson. When he caught it in the post sometime, they would double, make him kick the basketball out and then close out to the shooters or close out short to keep him from getting drives. And I just think they executed their game plan, just to the T. And it was great to see because, that's the type of basketball that's needed to play at a championship level each and every night. Offensively, Armando was a monster on the interior. I kind of felt that he would have the upper hand on Dickinson just because they played together and Dickinson's kind of like the younger brother. And so there's no possible way that Armando was going to allow him to outperform him just on, just personal. We know each other, and regardless of what America says about you, we know that, I'm the guy when it comes to us. And so you could feel that from Armando last night in the game. Once your captain or the biggest guy in the room isn't perceived to be the biggest guy in the room anymore, then there goes your team. And so I think when Armando showed his superiority over Dickinson, I think it kind of said to everybody, oh my goodness, like, this is our guy. and he's doing our guy like this. You know, what can we do? And from there, you know, the Heels just began to steamroll and, you know, take advantage of the opportunities that they had. They shot the ball well. And then Caleb Love had a 3-4 minute span right there where, you know, he showed why he was perceived to be the player that people was talking about last year when he came in as a freshman. So it was awesome to see.
Yeah, I was going to say that was going to be my next thing was watching Mondo in person that game. It was like – it almost seemed like Hubert looked at him before the game and was like, look, you know, you got a relationship with Dickinson. I want you to go out there, assert your dominance, get him in foul trouble. And, I mean, he did. I remember in the second half, I was sitting in the risers in the student section right there by the court, and Mondo gets the ball on the block. Dickinson reaches, they call a foul. Dickinson starts to complain, and Armando looks at him and he goes, nah, you fouled me. You know you fouled me. And you could tell from that point on, it was like Mondo had asserted his dominance and he was in Dickinson's head. There was nothing Dickinson was going to do. And as soon as they fouled Dickinson out of the game, they were just dribble handoff with him the whole entire first half. So it was like their game plan just went to shambles. And then the other thing you mentioned, Caleb Love, it's like anytime there's a big game, you can almost bet that Caleb's dropping 20. I mean, it's like he shows up for every big game. He did it for Duke last year. He did it again this year. So it's like if those two guys, you know, Mondo being the senior, the big man, the dominant inside force, and then Caleb just being a crafty scorer who can score on all three levels, if those guys are going to take those next two steps, what's the ceiling? What's the Shamon Williams ceiling for this squad?
I think that they could be there at the end of the year. I think they could be there at the Final Four at the end of the year because they're still learning how to thrive in Coach Davis's offense. You know, it's different than what Coach Williams ran, and they're still trying to find each other as well. And so, you know, the great thing about you know seeing those guys and watching Caleb really is, you know, he's beginning to show some consistency. And so what you're going to see is guys are going to, you know, begin to feel a little bit more comfortable in their role. They're going to find the ways to expand their roles and be the best them that they can be in those roles as time continues to evolve. And so, you know, it's interesting to watch. It's great to see. And hopefully they can just continue adding, you know, games, adding wins to the column and get more confidence and beginning to be those that type of team that people fear. You know, that's one thing that, you know, that I always, you know, try to allude to in you know, my coaching and trying to help individuals is you got to play a certain type of game where when you step on the floor, people fear you. They fear what you're capable of doing. They fear having to, you know, having to compete against you. And a lot of times, you know, for myself, when I stepped on the floor, especially when I wore the Carolina blue, I felt like people feared us. And if they didn't fear us, then that gives me the opportunity to show you why you should. And hopefully, you know, those guys will adapt and develop that mindset.
Yeah, for sure. And like just seeing what they did last night, you know, made me happy, made me excited for the UCLA game coming up soon, for ACC play. I mean,
right.
You look at the ACC right now, like Duke's the only ranked team. So it's like, it's wide open. I mean, there's not a team in that conference that they can't beat. And it feels good. I'm feeling good about the season. And, you know, that's really all I got for you, man. It was just – it felt good to finally get a big win last night and be back there.
Yeah, it was a great win over a top 25 team. And just I'm expecting that the Heels will continue their ascension and become a better basketball team each and every time they step out on the floor. Once again, JK, I appreciate you doing the Q&A with me. And ladies and gentlemen, next we have our guest on the Carolina Conversation, UNC Charlotte's athletic director and our own Tar Heel alum, Mike Hill.
Before we move on, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up for Bet Rivers yet, now is the time because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their rush pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, it's more secure, and it's more reliable. Now that basketball season is tipping off, get in on the action at BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers iOS app. You must be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And while I got you here, let's talk about the Field of 68 Media Network, where college basketball matters most all year round. This is a digital media and podcast network that we've been building over the course of the last year. We have shows hosted by some of your favorite players covering the program that they love the most. AJ Guyton hosts the House of Hoosier. Eric Diebendorf covers Syracuse on the Scorer's Table. Dan Dickow hosts the Gonzaga Bulldog broadcast. We have Florida's Patrick Young and Duke's Andre Dawkins and North Carolina's Shimon Williams and Michigan's Stu Douglas and Illinois' Deion Thomas. The list goes on and on and on. We have more than 30 shows right now. So hit the links below and check them all out. And while you're at it, make sure that you go check out the Field of 12 Media Network, your home for college football.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Carolina Conversation. I'm your host, Shimon Williams, and we have a great one with us today. He hails from Clemson, South Carolina, the upstate of South Carolina, as I. But more importantly, he's a 1990 graduate of the University of North Carolina. And while he was at the University of North Carolina from 88 to 90, he was a student sports information assistant. But more importantly, after graduating from the University of North Carolina, he has decades of experience as an athletic administrator. But more importantly, he is now the athletic director at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. Please, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mr. Mike Hill.
Thanks, Shimon. It's great to be here with you, man. Good to see you.
Hey, great to see you as well. And we appreciate you participating. We've had opportunity to talk in the past a few times. I've gotten to see you at UNC Charlotte basketball games, but we really appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with us.
No, it's my pleasure, man. I always loved watching you play, and it's been good to get to know you over the last few years catching up here in Charlotte. We're excited about what we got going here on our campus.
Yes. And so, you know, that's what I would like to speak about first. I mean, we like to talk about what's going on now. I want to congratulate you. As I, in the past, I've kind of texted you with what I thought, and it's come to fruition. Could you explain to the people what has happened there at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, in the past days?
Well, we've had some really big news. It's transformational for our athletic program and for our university. We received an invitation recently to join the American Athletic Conference, which is a major step for us. Thank you.
We're really excited
about it. It's a chance really for us to rejoin some former conference colleagues of ours, you know, from our original Conference USA membership, schools such as Memphis and USF and Tulane and others. And then we're also excited to have an in-state rival again here now in our own conference with East Carolina. So, it's a league that's largely urban-based institutions, with the exception really of ECU, and we love the fact that we have ECU up the road from us here to play us and everything now, and tremendous platform of exposure for our teams through their contract with ESPN and CBS. It will provide us with some additional resources to reinvest in our program, right, and to grow what we're working so hard to build here. So it's an exciting time. We remain proud members of Conference USA, and we're really thankful to have that home and to have had that home, the Conference USA, and Commissioner Judy McLeod and so many good people in that league as well. This is a fantastic opportunity of growth for us, though.
Yeah, I want to compliment you on that, because you had spent 15 years or so at the University of Florida and being very intricate, well, maybe 23 years or somewhere in there, at the University of Florida and being very intricate in there, and their programs enhancing, and that institution enhancing its athletics. And so, you know, you have the opportunity to come to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, having that responsibility and being there to ultimately put that institution in the position that it's in now. How was that experience for you? And how was having that responsibility, knowing that they're bringing an individual like yourself with your experience to help elevate the institution?
Well, you know, when I arrived here 3.5 years ago, one of our primary goals was to try to get into the American, because of all the reasons I mentioned earlier, all the benefits and all the similarities in terms of institution and the competition level and the exposure and the resources. You know, so that was a target, that was a goal. And we felt like at that time, we never knew exactly when that day might come, the opportunity might come, but we needed to be prepared for the day when it did come, because things move quickly when it comes to conference realignment. And so that's what we focused on, was trying to take care of ourselves, improve our performance, improve the perception of Charlotte athletics. And I think that we've accomplished that in the last 3.5 years. We made ourselves, you know, a real factor in realignment and put ourselves on the radar. We're also thankful, though, that, you know, we were noted because of the great city that we're in. And Charlotte is such an incredible community. You know, it's 15th largest market in the country. You know, it's got the fifth busiest airport in the country. You know, I think it's the second largest financial center in the United States, which is pretty remarkable. So there are resources here. And I think the American recognized that. But they also recognize that this institution is the fastest growing university in the UNC system. You know, there's 17 schools in the UNC system. You have, of course, UNC Chapel Hill. You've got Charlotte. You have App State, NC State, et cetera. In the last decade, this university has been responsible for over 30% of the total enrollment growth of the entire institution, or the entire system, rather. So think about it. That's pretty remarkable for one institution to have shown that kind of growth. We have 30,500 students. We've set enrollment records for the last 3 years here in the middle of a pandemic. You know, right. Other institutions are seeing flattening or declines in their enrollment. And we also set fundraising records as an institution and an athletic. So, you know, I think that, you know, when I look back at when I first left Florida to come here, you know, this is the reason why. Like, we're starting to realize our potential. I saw potential in this place. I also saw a great place to live and to grow and raise our family. And the quality of life was certainly a factor in that as well. In the end, you know, what we've done is we've taken a program and the hard work of so many people before me and before us, and really taken advantage of that to be able to tell our story and get this invitation. So, you know, a lot of people were patting me on the back when we got the invitation, and I appreciate that. I guess they would have blamed me if we hadn't gotten the invitation.
Correct.
The reality is that this is the result of, you know, successful athletes and coaches and fans and donors and a university and a city, and all those factors together are what got us here. Not just the work of Mike Hill or individuals on our staff. So it was our job to make sure we were positioned and that we told our story. And so I will acknowledge, I think that our staff and our team did a great job doing that. But the reason we extended the invite, because this is a special place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. Well, congratulations again to you and your institution in getting that invite. Now, could you explain to us how being at the University of Florida and being in that environment helped you put yourself in a position that you could actually have an institution that you were able to direct yourself? How was that experience at the University of Florida?
Well, I learned so much in Gainesville, and that was really where I grew up as a professional. You know, you mentioned I was born and raised in Clemson, and that's certainly true, and have great affinity for that. My dad and stepmom still live there, and, you know, I certainly always loved Clemson. But as an adult and as a professional, you know, the vast majority of my career was spent at the University of Florida. I started out there at 22 years old as an entry-level marketing assistant. And I stayed there as long as I did because I had opportunities every couple of years to grow and take on new responsibilities. I never in a million years thought that I would be at Florida for 24 years. You know, that's a long time to be in one place. But, you know, I didn't stay there because I was complacent. I stayed there because I was learning, I was growing, I was around some, you know, one of the best ADs ever, Jeremy Foley. I was around like world-class coaches, Olympic coaches, national champion coaches, you know, Billy Donovan, Steve Spurrier, you know, Tim Walton. I mean, just on and on and on, you know, and world-class athletes, you know, Tim Tebow, Joakim Noah, Abby Wambach, Caleb Dressel, Ryan Lochte. I mean, the list goes on forever. And so, you know, what that did was it taught me what excellence looks like. And obviously I had a sense of what excellence looked like because I went to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, right? And I tell you, there's a lot of similarities between Chapel Hill and Gainesville in terms of the quality of the athletic programs and the quality of the academic institution. They're both top five public universities now. Carolina's been there a long, long time. Florida has crept up the rankings, and now Florida, and my wife, by the way, who's a Florida grad, likes to remind me of that all the time, that the Gators have caught the Tar Heels in the academic rankings now in the public universities. So, but nonetheless, the lessons learned there were significant and really shaped me to be the leader that I am today. And I was able to take so many of those lessons and experiences and bring them here to Charlotte. When I say lessons, you know, a lot of them came through failure, not just from successes. You have failures and successes along the way. I don't care where you are. And at Florida, we had more successes than we had failures, but I learned from all of them. And I'm so grateful for that experience. And so coming here to Charlotte and helping us maybe elevate the expectations that we put on ourselves as a staff, as a coaching staff, as student athletes, what we expect that we can be, you know, that okay, being okay, just okay is not okay. We say it all the time, you know, it's, hey, anybody can be ordinary. We want to be extraordinary, not ordinary, but extraordinary. And we can do that and we can be that. And that's the goal. And I think that you see that in the trajectory of the performance of our program. You know, last year we were in the top 100 of the Director's Cup, all sports. And I know Florida and Chapel Hill are used to being in the top 10 every year. But for us, when I arrived here 6 years ago, we were unranked. We were not ranked at all. So to be in the top 100 after being, you know, tied for 350th is progress. You know, we had a record four teams in the NCAA postseason last year. So it was a really special year. We would have, if you took all of our sports and averaged them their finish, we had the overall top program in Conference USA last year. So that's progress. Now, our work is not done by any stretch. And if anything, it's just begun and gotten harder because of this new platform that we have. Winning the American here in a few years, but we're ready for that challenge.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. It's great to be in an environment where the expectation is always high, and it makes some people fold, but it brings out greatness in most that are willing to accept that challenge. So that was a great line. I appreciate what you said in that regard. And so let's go back many moons ago, a young man hailing from Clemson, South Carolina, the upstate of South Carolina. And like myself, I don't know if you were a Clemson fan as I was, That's all we actually knew. What made you go to the University of North Carolina?
You know, I have a lot of people in Clemson who still to this day ask me that question and won't let it go, you know. Look, like I said earlier, I grew up loving Clemson. I still love Clemson. I do. Mm-hmm. And I went to see, I saw them win their last two national football championships. And there was no bigger fan than Mike Hill on the stands. You know, it's funny. My son and my wife tell me, they say, you know what? When we watch a Clemson game, you just turn into a total fan. And that's what happened. You know, so I do. I love Clemson. But, you know, for me, I lived my whole life in Clemson as a kid growing up, except for 2 years that I don't remember when I was too little to remember when we were up in Champaign-Urbana when my dad was getting his PhD at University of Illinois. So my formative years were all in Clemson, and I received a scholarship to attend Chapel Hill. And at that moment, it was a hard sort of decision to make. to leave home, but I felt like I needed as a person to grow. And so, you know, that's why I made the move, and I had an opportunity. And obviously, you know, Chapel Hill is one of the elite academic institutions in the country, and I had a scholarship to go there. And so how could I not take that opportunity? I just felt like it was a growth opportunity for me. Now, all of my Carolina, you know, friends will tell you, especially my first 2 years or so in Chapel Hill, that, you know, I wouldn't shut up about Clemson. You know, I'd be checking on Clemson scores and wanting to know that, you know, that was before we had, you know, phones that gave us instant information on scores. So, you know, I you know, sort of walked that tightrope as a Tar Heel and a Clemson Tiger. But yeah, I think, and, you know, and it was the right decision for me. You know, it really was. I mean, I made life friendships here at Chapel Hill. I learned so much, you know, I was around some really great programs, mm-hmm. and just have, you know, a lot of fondness for that place and the memories that I have there, I'll cherish forever, you know? Right. And I think people, you know, my friends who know me in Clemson, they get it. They like to give me a hard time, but they totally get it. But, you know, what's kind of been cool to see too is Clemson has really evolved and become a fantastic academic institution too. It's a top 25 public university as well. I'm really proud of what my hometown university is and has become as well. So it's really cool to have those roots, you know, in those two great ACC programs.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, coming from the upstate of South Carolina and then going to Chapel Hill and being in that environment, what were some of the things that you noticed that was kind of different from the environment that you were raised in? You know, I understand Clemson and how small it is, and you know, there's not much to do, but being in a totally different environment at the University of North Carolina and being in an environment, like you said before, that, you know, they expected to be champions in most things. You know, how was that for you, and how did that make you feel, and did that help you evolve into wanting to be, you know, that in athletic administration?
For sure. I mean, I think the differences, as you said, were mainly just in terms of the environment, right? So when I say the environment, I'm just talking about really this the size of the community. You know, Clemson is growing a lot now. It's gotten a lot bigger, but Clemson was a really small town when I grew up there. And that was one of the reasons I used to go to everything. I would go to wrestling, I'd go to soccer, swimming, tennis. I followed everything Clemson, and I loved it. Right. You know, but to Chapel Hill, you know, it's a lot bigger community. It's not, you know, Chapel Hill is, the town of Chapel Hill is not necessarily huge, but right. Consider that whole area. You got Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Raleigh-Durham, and there's just, there are a lot more people there, right? And so,
right.
So it was just, it was different in that sense, you know, but, you know, I also knew this, like, Clemson is a fantastic athletics program and has been for a long, long time. And so is Chapel Hill, for sure. And so all I knew is that when I got to Carolina, that I was going to try to take advantage of everything I possibly could there, because I knew that I was at a really special place and a special university. Coach Smith, right. was still the head basketball coach then at that time. Mack Brown had just been hired as the head football coach. And by the way, my last 2 years there, he went 1-10 and 1-10. So that wasn't any fun. Right. You know, but he did get it going for sure. I had to leave before he got it going, you know, but Anson Dorrance and Karen Shelton. And I mean, just on and on and on the greatness there of all those athletics programs. And again, does remind me so much of what we had at Florida, just excellence across the board in every sport. So, but when I got to campus at Chapel Hill, I knew I wanted to get a job in athletics right away. And I went down to the athletic department first semester of my freshman year and interviewed for a job in the sports information office, and I didn't get it. But that summer, Dave Losey, who was one of the assistant SIDs, wrote me a letter. I was back from Wisconsin, and he wrote me a letter, and he said, hey, I feel so bad that we didn't have an opportunity for you. Let's stay in touch. So naturally, I was knocking on his door the first day of classes my sophomore year. And they finally hired me because I kept bugging them. They hired me later that semester, and I worked for the last 2.5 years in the department. And John Swofford was the AD at the time.
Right.
Around so many really smart, great leaders. And, you know, I cherish that forever. And that really did, that helped shape me and prepare me for my career moving into, college athletic administration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being in administration for so many years, like you said, even while you were a student athlete, you were in administration and learning in learning from that, you know, from a student athlete student perspective, and then to go on into administration as a professional. To look at where things were now, then, how and what are your thoughts about things now? The college football bowl, you know, series. You have the NCAA tournament that garners $1 billion a year. What are your thoughts about that as an athletic director?
The world has changed so much since I was a student. You know, it's funny. I actually remember I wrote a guest column for the Daily Tar Heel when I was a student, proposing that we use bowl games to create a playoff. So I might have known what I was talking about back then.
Okay. Right.
That was a long time ago, but I remember writing that piece and being excited because it got published with the bracket and the whole deal, right? But it's changed so much. I mean, and I think people have a tendency in our business to think the sky is falling when there's major change in college athletics. All the transfer portal is the end of college athletics as we know it. Oh, NIL, we're never going to survive it. I mean, I think we overreact far too much to these major changes. Does it change some things? Of course it does. Are there some unintended consequences when we have significant transformative change like those issues I just mentioned? Sure. But I think in the end, we're modernizing our enterprise, you know, and it's a long time. It really is. I mean, you're right. We have a college football playoff now. We didn't have one when I was in college or when you were in college, you know.
Right.
And it was a bowl system. That's all it was. And, you know, a lot of times number one didn't play number two. You know, very frequently they didn't happen. You might have one poll have one team win the national championship and one win another. I mean, how nuts is that? You know, so we figured that out. I think we figured out some other pieces that are really important to the enterprise. I think that, you know, the transfer portal, yes, I know there are a lot of people who hate it, but the reality is it's the right thing to do. And sure, people can make the case that it makes it easy for a student athlete to give up, to quit when things get hard. I agree. That's not a good thing. People need to learn how to grind it out, tough it out. But you know what? When you're 17 years old, 16, 17, and you make a decision to choose a university to go to, who's to say you're always going to make the right choice that first time? You might make a poor choice, right? You're not necessarily equipped at that age. You know, you don't necessarily have all the reasoning skills to be able to make a big life decision. These are big life decisions we ask 16, 17, 18 year olds to make. Where are you going to go to school? Where are you going to play? So I think they do have the right to be able to move on and make a change if it's just not right for them. It's not a free for all. It's one time, you know, and then they can transfer and move on. So that's just one example. NIL, you know, we should have addressed those issues a long time ago. You know, in the NCAA and in our industry, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves that we allowed it to be dictated to us by government. It should have never gotten to that point. But now that's hard. We're going to have to go that route to address a lot of the ills of college athletics. But it's a different day. It's a different era. But, you know, you still can't beat it, man. The excitement, the passion, the energy of college athletics, you know, whether you're here in Halton Arena to watch the Niners play or at Jerry Richardson Stadium to watch our football team play, or if you're in the Dean Smith Center or Keenan Stadium or Death Valley, it is electric. And I'll take it any day of the week over professional sports. I'll take it any day of the week over so many other options that we have to spend our disposable time, because people galvanize around. They love their alma mater, or they love the school for whom they have great affinity and they're passionate about it. And there's nothing like that on game day.
Yeah, yeah. Some great points made right there, Mr. Hill. Here's one question that I don't think a lot of university administration likes to hear, or they hear the answer to it. But I think it's a question that's noted and shouldn't be discussed. Being an athletic director at a university, what are your thoughts about the impact of sports and how it affects enrollment at institutions?
Well, I feel very passionately that athletics serves a major purpose for the university. And we talk about that here. Why do we exist? You know, why does Charlotte Athletics exist for this university? Well, we are here first and foremost for the total development of our student athletes. But ultimately, we're here to elevate the university. Without the university, we don't exist. And so we have that chance. We have that platform. That's why having this opportunity to join the American is such a big deal for us. You know, right. The company we're going to be keeping some great academic institutions, SMU and Tulane and others that you know, USF, these are big time universities. And so the academic profile is raised. Athletics has visibility that, quite frankly, the institution on its own isn't always going to garner and generate. You know, if you win a national championship or play for one in football or basketball, your applications are going to go up. You can count on it. Just go ask the people in Clemson. They've seen their skyrocket, you know, because of what's happened all the last 5 years. It's called the Flutie effect. You know, when Boston College beat Miami back 40 years ago, whenever it was, and Doug Flutie threw the Hail Mary to beat Miami on Thanksgiving weekend, you know, applications went through the roof at Boston College because it was such a monumental play and upset. So, you know, Alabama, you know, the success Alabama's had in football. You look at the impact on their enrollment, out-of-state enrollment is tremendous there now. So, you know, athletics, you know, we're here to engage the university's constituents. We want alumni to come back to campus. We want our graduates who are in government to help influence government to do the right things to benefit institutions and benefit the community. Those are the reasons why it matters that we engage. And it's easier to get engaged at a tailgate at a football game than it is at a chem lab. And it's more important work is happening in a chemistry lab than on a football field. I mean, I guess you could make that case, but at the same time, you know, what really energizes in the passions in people are sports. That's what brings people back to our campuses. That's why we have these programs. So I feel very strongly that athletics brings tremendous value to universities, and we should celebrate that. We should invest in it in a reasonable way and understand and never lose perspective that we're here for the institution and not the other way around.
Right. It's interesting. You and I have a lot of the same thought processes about those things. And leading into what you were just speaking about you know, how important it can be to an institution and its enrollment. A lot of times winning does help in that regard, but how about, you know, you're different being in the AAC, well, going to the AAC, and you alluded to it earlier about being in an urban area. So when you're in an urban area, there's a lot of other things to compete with. You compete with the Panthers, you compete with the NBA team there, the Hornets. And so where does the line come in between winning and also being exciting to where people want to come and watch you and spend their money or even enroll in your institution because they enjoy the environment? Because we know that everybody's not going to win the national championship, but being competitive, but also being in a situation where people just like the things that you're doing at your institution and in your programs. How do you draw the line, you know, find the balance in those two?
I've always seen it as an advantage to us and not a disadvantage that we're in a city that loves sports the way Charlotte loves its sports.
Right.
If you do a SWOT analysis, you know, you can obviously identify that we have, you know, obviously we have threats, right? We're surrounded by a lot of other schools, a lot of ACC schools, SEC schools. You have professional sports here, the Panthers, the Hornets, Charlotte FC, the new MLS franchise, the Knights, the Checkers. You know, but we choose to look at it differently. We say, you know what? No, our home is a great sports town. They love sports and they love college sports. And Charlotte was a college sports town before it was a pro sports town.
Yes, it was.
It was. And so we know that this city cares about college athletics. And this city has already demonstrated in the past that it will support the Charlotte 49ers. You know, this is a program that's been to a Final Four and the city was electrified by that. Cornbread Maxwell play for the Celtics, of course, you know, and had numerous NCAA tournament bids you know, earlier in the 2000s. And so, and we saw packed houses in Halton Arena. You know, I think back to this football season this year, we opened the season against Duke on national television at home, and we had a full house and it was electric and we won the game, you know, and people saw it. They paid attention. I'm not kidding when I say, I think it helped us with the American, because watch that game and they're like, wow, look at that environment. It was electric. We won the game in thrilling fashion. We showed we could compete with a Power Five program, you know, so that was a big, big deal. So, you know, I think I look at this, like we have a game tomorrow. So we're playing, we have a homecoming game against Rice. Rice is not necessarily one of our natural rivals. Okay. Rice is in Houston. They're in the other division. We don't play them every year. It's sold out. We're selling standing room only tickets for a game against Rice tomorrow. And this is after we'd lost two straight football games. So what does that tell you? That tells you people are buying into what we can be, what we're becoming, and what they believe we can be. They've come to games. They've had fun. They've had a great time. Our head football coach, Will Healy, has energized the city about us. You know, we beat Duke in that opening game. And the very next day, he is live on the set of ESPN's College Game Day. Now, when in the history of college athletics as the head football coach, the Charlotte 49ers been on the set College Game Day? Never. I can tell you that's the answer. You know, right. My point is the job that Will has done and what we've tried to do to connect ourselves with the city. I mean, you see my shirt here. It says CLT. There's a reason for that. That's the airport code for Charlotte. And that's part of our brand here, is to connect ourselves to this city and to be this city's hometown team. We're the only FBS school, FBS program in the city of Charlotte. And so it's really easy to see the connectivity there. And we happen to be in the middle or near the end of what we're calling Niner Nation Week in Charlotte, where the city of Charlotte is celebrating its university. The skyline has been lit up green all week, you know, to celebrate the Charlotte 49ers. And that's going to become a tradition moving forward. So it is a line, you know, you're trying to create excitement and energy. You have to acknowledge the fact that you've got a lot of competition in the marketplace. But I like our position a lot, and I think we're on a rocket ship upward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's duly noted, duly noted. Well, Mr. Hill, I want to say thank you for participating here in the Carolina Conversation. You've been very informative, and hopefully everybody that's listening will get a chance to follow you guys there at UNC Charlotte. And when they have time, you know, maybe poke their heads in and be supportive of the program there. But I want to say thank you for participating in the Carolina Conversation. It's great to hear your perspective. It's great to see the things that you're doing there at UNC Charlotte. And it's great to know that there's a fellow Tar Heel also leading that stride there. So we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you a great deal for participating in the conversation.
I appreciate that so much, Shimon. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure. Again, it's always great to see you and to talk to a fellow Chapel Hill graduate, and certainly proud of those roots and also proud of what we're building here at Charlotte. So thank you for your support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's please give Mr. Mike Hill another applause. And for those who are listening, when you have an opportunity, tune into the Carolina Conversation. And when you're not watching the Tar Heels participate in basketball or football or any other sport, make sure you watch the Old Dominion women's basketball team led by Delisha Milton-Jones this season. I promise you, you'll see some great young ladies out there playing, led by a great woman. Thank you for participating and listening to the Carolina Conversation.